Oh my goodness, I played that song until my little clock radio gave out. What would I have dreamt of if I didn't have Pretty in Pink? I mean, and honestly, I am sort of ashamed to admit this. It inspired me to apply to Princeton. Just this,
Princeton? You went to Princeton?
I
you
did.
Are totally the Molly Ringwald.
I was absolutely certain that I was going to meet Andrew McCarthy and marry him. Yesterday afternoon, Hughes died at the age of 59. After
it's John
suffering.
Hughes, the director of all
yes,
those
John.
Films.
All those
really,
wonderful
he's almost
films.
A voice of a generation.
He is. I mean, it just he imprinted this on, I think, every person's heart who saw these movies of the 80s. He was the man behind 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, Home Alone, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And
in an homage to skipping school and basically being a smarty pants to everyone, there's, of course, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Bueller. 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 Bueller.
He's sick. My best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid is going with the girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night. I guess it's pretty serious.
Oh, it's pretty serious. Well, the loss of John Hughes is extraordinarily serious. Wesley Morris joins us this morning, Boston Globe film critic at the partner station WGBH in Boston. Good morning, Wesley.
Hey, what's up, guys?
I mean, first of all, it's a shock because he was 59, a death by a heart attack walking in Manhattan. But in terms of the loss and the influence of this director, it's hard to find somebody more influential, right?
I mean, in terms of what he managed to do for a major section of movie going, yeah, I mean, he was pretty influential. You know, I mean, he made these popular, you know, he's most remembered for that set of movies that came out between like 1984 and 1987, which is a pretty amazing run too. That's six movies that managed to be these cultural touchstones. They still manage to be cultural touchstones. People's kids still watch them today. You know, he wasn't a great movie maker. I think he came along at the exact right moment, though. I mean, where he took these archetypal teenagers, basically, and set them to a soundtrack that resonated, an original soundtrack. And, I mean, in a lot of ways, these movies are kind of musicals, you know? I mean, the memories I have are both of these, you know, these archetypes, these characters who aren't really characters and more like attitudes, and these very cool songs.
Well, 1986, you've got Pretty in Pink. Listen.
What about prom?
Why don't we just meet after school?
No! What about prom?
Hey, come on.
Just say it.
What?
Just say it. I want to hear you say it.
Andy, please, all right?
I want to hear you say it.
A month ago, I asked somebody else and I forgot.
You're a liar! You're a filthy, fugal liar! You didn't have the guts to tell me the truth! Just say it!
I'm not lying.
Tell me!
What?
Tell me!
What do you want to hear?
Just tell me!
What?
You're ashamed to be seen with
no,
me!
No, I am
You're
not.
Ashamed to go out with me! You're afraid! Lord.
That was Molly Ringwald there playing Andy Walsh. Wesley, isn't Pretty in Pink sort of a modern-day Cinderella mixed with, you know, class envy and a lot of those anxieties that every teenager feels?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a kind of universality of to some of this. I mean, there's a kind of middle Americanness to John Hughes. I grew up in a city. I grew up black. In a lot of ways for me, I didn't know the word for this, but it was otherness. They were other to me.
You mean
so it was
all
sort
of the
like
characters
watching,
populating his films.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I it was like watching nature specials, you know.
Right, right. Yes.
You know, I mean, who are these strange people that have nothing to do with my life, but that, you know, when I go to like a birthday party, all the kids are dressed like Molly Ringwald. I didn't understand any of that.
So Wesley Morris for
she was
an African American
Molly Ringwald, of course, was the first teenager on Time magazine for me. I mean, she was the first person older than me, but not too much older, that was on the cover of a major magazine. That was a big deal.
So for an African-American young person growing up in the 1980s, it's sort of like Mutual Omaha's Wild Kingdom to hear this scene from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, all about suburban white kids in Chicago.
Cameron?
Yeah?
How many miles did you say this thing had on it when we left?
126 and halfway between 3 and 4 tenths. Why? How many miles are on it now?
Radio.
Here's where Cameron goes berserk.
Ah!
So
and
Wesley
John, wasn't
Moore,
that, a Porsche they were driving?
No, I think it was a Ferrari. I think it was a Ferrari, and that's sort of the suburban white kid's version of bling back there, right, Wesley?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's beyond bling. I mean, it's sort of
daddy's
bling. Yeah, inherited bling.
But it also symbolized, suburban dad's absence from his son's life, right?
Well, this is the interesting thing about John Hughes, though, is, I mean, he really sort of had a resentment for adults. And that's sort of, that's to me anyway, the unfair fight in this movie, in his movies. But, you know, the kids are smarter, they're cooler, they know everything. The parents are either non-existent or these oppressive forces in their lives. And it's very simple to sort of make that argument. But I think the thing that keeps these movies resonant and made them popular in addition to the soundtrack is this idea that there's a generation of kids who know everything.
Well,
and their angst is sort of, it comes from the parents, but it also comes from their relationships to each other.
And, you know, John Hughes did morph as time went on. I mean, in 1994, I think he was estimated that he had drawn like $1.4 billion in a box office. But Wesley, what do you make of this scene from Uncle Buck, which has Macaulay Culkin, a key character in the Hughes world that we'll talk about in a moment. Macaulay Culkin here is interrogating John Candy.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
What do you do for a living?
Lots of things.
Where's your office?
I don't have one.
How come?
I don't need one.
Where's your wife?
Don't have one.
How come?
It's a long story.
Do you have kids?
No, I don't.
How come?
It's an even longer story.
Are you my dad's brother?
What's your record for consecutive questions asked?
38.
I'm your dad's brother, all right.
You have much more hair on your nose than my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid. That's my job.
So there, Wesley Morris, a kid and adult are actually getting along. Breakthrough scene for John Hughes.
Yeah, I think that Uncle Buck, he made a movie in 1988 called She's Having a Baby.
Right.
It was a flop. It was about a couple, Kevin Bacon and I believe Elizabeth Perkins having a kid together. It was about adulthood, and I think it's Elizabeth Montgomery, by the way, or McGovern. And nobody saw it. I think he makes Uncle Buck the next year, and I think from there he begins this move away from adolescence and this move away from real adulthood, and he starts writing and directing movies centered around dogs and pets and children. And his death prematurely at 59 kind of in some way reminds me of Michael Jackson, who was, personally interested in maintaining a kind of adolescent lifestyle. John Hughes sort of kept that going professionally. It's interesting to lose them, within a month of each other.
Yeah, it is. It's strange. It is. Sort of thing. And, of course, Home Alone, the movie kind of about pre-adolescence, was produced by John Hughes and is still his top grossing
and
movie.
Interesting, Wesley, to your point, I mean, Home Alone. The parents go off on vacation and leave their kid behind.
And at the end, he was Home Alone there.
And the parents are kind of buffoons in that. McCatherine O'Hara is a very good,
terrific
clown,
comic actress.
But they're clowns in that movie.
Grossed something like $238 million. Still the highest grossing comedy, I think.
I mean, who can forget the Macaulay Culkin scream, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Right. Well, Wesley Morris, Boston Globe film critic, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.